welcome, welcome for all of you here in the room and then all of you who are joining us online. Very glad that you are with us as well. We are starting a new series this weekend, so if you're here for the first time, you chose a great weekend to hang out with us and kind of get started figuring out what this is all about. We're going to talk about money over the next few weeks and how we can get free from our anxiety around it. Some of us may even feel a little anxious that we're going to talk about money at church. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how we can get a handle on it instead of it so often really handling us and our emotions and our decisions. And it's going to be a really powerful series, and I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But first, as you just heard, there are a couple other ways that you can really lean into growing in your faith as we start this new year. I know you just heard about them, but I just want to emphasize them because I'm so passionate about this. Our spring semester of J Group starts January 29th. Yes, we start groups on the 29th of January and call it spring. I'm aware of that. It's by faith. And we'll release our catalog of groups next weekend. We'll have a bunch of different groups for you to choose from. But if you have been in a group in the past, I really want to encourage you to lead a group this semester. And not only because it will help other people grow in their faith and just be able to hang out and connect with each other, people go in the same direction spiritually, but also because I don't know of anything else that'll help you grow more. It really is a catalyst because you're kind of thinking about it every week and there's something about it. So if you're hesitant but willing, that's kind of our favorite kind of group leader, hesitant but willing. Like, I'm not quite sure, but I'll give it a shot. I want to encourage you, lead a group. You can go to our website or app and register a group there. Very simple. We'll coach you and encourage you and train you and help you along the way. And then, as you heard, 21 days of prayer and fasting starts tomorrow. So if you're new to our church, we start every year like this. From the first weekend of the year on, we spend 21 days praying together. We'll be doing that every day, and also fasting. And if you're new to the fasting thing, maybe you're wondering, like, what is that all about? Are we all getting our blood work done? No, although if you want to double up, like if you have to get blood work, you'd be like, God, I'm fasting. I just want you to know. But this is really just about saying no to something we usually say yes to so we can say a bigger yes to God. It's not about torturing ourselves or trying to impress God, but it is about a sacrifice of something we're used to getting and to just fill that space with more of God. I encourage you to be a part of that. You can find out more, again, on our website or app about 21 days. Really believe it's going to be powerful this year. I've been praying about it and preparing for it, and we're going to kick it off tomorrow. So be a part of that. So as we jump into this series right on the money, I've got a true or false statement for you, okay? Don't answer aloud, but just get true or false in your mind. Ready? Here we go. Money can't buy happiness. Okay, true or false? Money can't buy happiness. Here's what I know. Whatever our beliefs about God, some of us, as soon as I said that, we thought, that's false. Money can buy happiness. For sure can. In fact, I intend to buy myself some happiness over the next 48 hours. I'm going to Amazon. I'm getting a new car. Like, I'm just absolutely happy, happy, happy. Money, money, money. Others of us, maybe we've had some, like a few more experiences in life, and we've had seasons where our income went up and we assumed our happiness would follow, but it didn't always work out that way. Sometimes maybe even a little bit of the opposite, and we kind of have matured maybe a little bit. And we're like, it doesn't always work that way. And then a whole lot of us probably thought something like, hey, I know that that's true. Money can't buy happiness. And I know that's what I should say because I'm at church. But if I'm honest, a little more wouldn't hurt. How many just like, money can't buy happiness, I don't think, but I'm willing to test that hypothesis. I am willing, like if you're looking for volunteers to spend the next 40 years of their lives proving whether or not that's true, I want you to know, I'll volunteer. So I've had all three of those responses at different times in my life. And you wanna know the real answer? Like true or false, money can't buy happiness? Here's the real answer. It's complicated. It's complicated. It sounds like a relationship status, doesn't it? We're actually going to do a whole series in February on relationships. It's going to be great. But for a lot of us, this is our relationship with money. It's complicated. And again, for some of us, it's complicated that we're even talking about this at church because maybe your trust level isn't super high. We talk about money in church. Maybe you've had some bad experiences or you have some you've seen things in social media or whatever, and you're like, church and money, I don't know. And I get all that, but just wherever we land when it comes to church and God, here's what's true. Money is the thing that most of us will think more about, work more hours for, worry more over, and plan our futures more around than anything else during our lifetimes. I mean, think about it. Is there anything, any other physical thing that we will devote more time and energy to over the course of our lives than, even if it's in a roundabout way, this money thing? And God actually isn't surprised by that. He knows we have money on our minds. Money itself is actually not the problem. We'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks, but money itself is not the problem. It's our approach to it that can become so anxious or obsessive or misguided or greedy or comparative or all of the above. That's the problem. And what suffers most, ironically, when that's kind of our mindset toward money, what suffers most is our happiness. The very thing money is supposed to be able to buy for us is what suffers when we get money wrong. So why does that happen so often? Why do we get money wrong? And by the way, let me just say right up front, I'm not saying you get money wrong. I'm saying we get money wrong. I'm right there with you. I have moments of worry and where I don't see it properly. Like, we all just struggle with this in different seasons. And what could our lives be like if we could get right on the money? And if we could get money right. So that's what this series is about. And maybe for some of you, let me just say as well, you're like, man, I came to church in January. I want to talk about something spiritual. Money is not spiritual. Apparently, God would beg to differ, because there are actually more scriptures in the Bible that have to do with money and possessions than any other subject. In fact, Jesus talked more about money and possessions. When he told stories, he used money as an example. When he talked about the dangers of this world, he used money as an example. When he talked about positive things, he even related the kingdom of God to how we interact with money. He talked more about it than any other subject. In fact, more about it than many other subjects combined. So, whether you're new to all this church thing, or you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, or you're somewhere in between, you're going to want to come back every weekend during this series, because we're going to discover together a path to financial freedom that I really believe, I'm not just saying this, could change your life. No gimmicks. We're going to go to the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Bible, principles that have stood the test of time. And for today, we're going to start with one of the most kind of extended teachings about money. We're going to look at part of this from the life of Jesus. Here's what Jesus says about money. This is in Matthew 6. That is why, now let me pause. We're going to come back to that at the end of the message. So if you're like, what is why? I'm going to tell you, there's a verse right before this that actually explains all of it, but don't look it up right now. We're going to come back to it at the end of the message. But Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Now, let me ask, let's do a quick survey here in the room, online. How many of us worried about something in 2022? Just show of hands, just at some point, maybe worried a little bit about something. How many of us have worried about something over the past week? How many of us, just show of hands, worried about something over the last week? How many of us have worried about something in the last 11 minutes? Just a show of hands, quick show of hands. All right, that's actually more than worried in 2022. So far this year is not going well for some of us. Here's what I want you to know. If you have worried about anything in recent memory, Jesus cares about that. He is concerned with what concerns us. And there are a lot of things we could worry about, but here Jesus focuses in and he says, don't worry about everyday life. And the examples he gives are common things that we use money for: food and drink and clothes. Now, I'm sure if Jesus was teaching this today, he would have thrown in some examples like, don't worry about what speed Wi-Fi you can afford. Don't worry about how many pairs of Nikes you have and all. But he's talking about common things we use money for. But before we unpack that, we have to answer another question, which is, who is Jesus talking to? Because some of us in this moment might be like, well, how do I know Jesus is talking to me? It's a great question. So this is actually part of one of Jesus' most famous teaching, if not his most famous teaching in the entire New Testament of the Bible. It's his longest teaching that we have in one place. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Obviously, followers of Jesus are often very familiar, even if you're like, I'm not sure what that is. As soon as I started to quote from parts of it, you would recognize it. Politicians have quoted from it. Philosophers have quoted from it. It's the most famous teaching of Jesus. And it's where he lays out a bunch of challenging ideas about how we think and truths that kind of mess with the way we approach life. He talks about the power of humility and showing mercy. He talks about marriage and anger and prayer and fasting. He talks about loving our enemies, especially if we're married to them. February series, come, it's going to be great. And the longest part of the most famous teaching of Jesus that we have in the Bible, the longest part of it is about money and possessions. That's where Jesus focuses most. And Matthew tells us at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount who Jesus is talking to. So, and it's fascinating because Matthew says that Jesus was with a small group of his disciples, and he started to teach them. So he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the people on the inside, right? But then immediately Matthew says, and a large crowd began to gather, and Jesus continued to teach. So Jesus knows, okay, I've got my disciples, I've got the people who believe what I say, they believe in God, the way I came to reveal him, and they're in. And then I've got skeptics, I've got people who are not sure what they believe about God, they're not sure what they believe about me, they've been burned, they're jaded, they have all these different ideas. And Jesus begins to teach what we're about to look at. So the who is you and me. So I've been a follower of Jesus for 30 years. Then he's talking to you. So this is the first time I've been in church in my life. Then he's talking to you. So there are parts of the Bible like written for people on the inside, parts of the Bible written to reach out to people on the outside. And then there are teachings like this. It's like, Jesus, I'm talking to everybody. I don't care where you are in life. Here's my message. I'm not differentiating. It's exactly the same. First step to being right on the money, do not worry. And that rings true, right? Because for some of us, as soon as we heard Jesus' words, you know what we immediately started to do? Worry. We're like, Jesus, thank you so much for reminding me of the student loans I haven't paid off yet and the rent that just increased and the diapers that inflation has inflated and the college fund that will not be college fund because it isn't college funded and the 401k that is not 401k. Thank you, Jesus, so much. And Jesus says, all right, here's first step toward financial freedom. First step to being right on the money. Don't worry about any of that. When my wife Susie and I first started the church, when we started the journey, we had actually been in full-time ministry. We'd been traveling, speaking to different churches, and then we both took jobs in the marketplace, worked for a good company here in our region, both of us, and that company got bought out. We got laid off. We got a severance package, and we really believe this is something we had been praying for, that God would open the door for us to go full-time into church planting. And so we were like, okay, this is God's timing. Also happened to be God's timing for us to have a second kid, which was awesome. It was like, okay, we go full-time in church planting. Our income is about to be drastically reduced, and let's have a baby. Let's just do it. Let's do all the things. And for several years, things were tight. They were really tight. And I often tell that story because we saw so often God provide for us and do amazing things. But there's another part of the story. It's not like one part's true and the other part isn't. Like so much in life, they coexisted. There were days I didn't like it. Like, I can't believe you. You are a pastor. Why don't you trust God more? Oh, I would never. Okay, I understand. But I'm just telling you, some days I struggled to trust God. Has anybody else ever struggled? So there are 8 of us, even just here in Newark, also. So I just didn't like it. Some days I trusted God, and some days I'm like, I don't like this. And so years went by. It's not like things were tight for a short period of time. There was a long period of time where things were tight. We made this commitment to go full-time, planting a church, things were tight. And then they started to get not quite as tight. It's not like we had a ton, but it didn't feel as urgent. And at first, we had like this scarcity mentality, like, ooh, well, you never know. So we were just, and then after a little while, we're like, oh, we got money now. And we started buying things, and we weren't going crazy, we weren't buying big things, but it's kind of like, you know what's better than one spatula? Amazon. Like, let's get another spatula. That way, we don't have to clean the one that's dirty. We just got another spatula. What? You know, we're just living the life, man. And I got to tell you, and again, you might be like, man, I can't believe this. You're a pastor. But over time, we just kept buying, like small, but buying. And a little while in, started to realize, man, what's going on? I'll tell you what was going on. This is gonna be a little tough, all right? Some of us think money changes people because we've seen people change based on their financial status. But money does not change people. Money reveals people. Money actually doesn't have the power. Money's just a thing. In and of itself, it doesn't have any power. It can't change anyone. But you know what money can do? It can go, hey, you've got this thing that you've never shown anybody down inside, and I've got the key to that door. I'm letting it out. And then, we get to see, oh, this is what's really going on. So on those days when I was struggling to trust God, when we didn't have very much, money, or the lack of it, was revealing the lack of trust in my life. When I started to be like, oh, let's buy, we've got some money now. Nothing wrong with buying, by the way, but we were starting to do it like, let's make up for the fact that for so long we didn't have. In other words, we started finding security somewhere else other than in God. Like a second spatula, that's gonna make us feel secure. So money just reveals people. Now, so keep that idea in your mind, and then here's what I want you to know, it's very important. Jesus is not telling truly impoverished people not to worry. So he does not say, don't worry about whether you have any food or drink or clothing. Because if you don't have any, that's actually a serious problem. And Jesus calls his followers, by the way, to provide for and help and meet the needs of people who are in that situation, which we do as a church. I was just talking to someone in between gatherings today who just started serving our food distribution, and we give healthy food away to families in need, and we help people who are struggling with homelessness and providing shelter and resources, all of that. Jesus is not talking to people who are truly impoverished. He is telling all of us who have somewhere between two chicken nuggets and a ribeye. Somewhere between one pair of shoes, and they're getting a little worn out, but they still work, and 49 pairs of shoes, you know who you are. I'm just kidding. But you know who you are. So I'm just saying, you do know. So this is so important because Jesus actually does something shocking here. He says, if you've got somewhere between, like, you've recently had a meal and you have some clothing on, all the way, like, so barely enough, all the way to, you got so much, you don't even know what to do with it. Jesus says, level the playing field. You have enough. You have enough. Don't worry about whether you have enough. You do. Now, I envisioned exactly that response. And I'm sure Jesus did too. Because that word enough should mess with us. Most of us have some food to eat, some clothes to wear, some money to spend. We're just worried that we don't have enough. And that's what's robbing us of happiness. That's what's stealing our joy. That's what's distracting us from what life is really all about. So the first step toward financial freedom is actually realizing I have enough. Would you say that out loud with me? I have enough. Now, some of you are going, I just lied through my teeth. I don't have enough. I need more, man. I need more. You know what I need? I need more. So why does Jesus insist that wherever we are on the spectrum, somewhere between I've had a meal recently and I'm wearing some clothes and I got so much I don't even know what to do with it. Why does Jesus say, hey, wherever you are in that, you have enough? Here's why. It's this question. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Think about that. Why do we worry? It's not because we place too much importance on our lives. It's because we don't place enough importance on our real lives. That's why we worry. So let me just, and by the way, I'm not pointing fingers. Like I'm preaching to me, you just get to listen. By the way, little known secret, that's what I do every weekend. I think God called me to be a preacher so he could constantly remind me of how I should live. It's like I study it all week, I preach it all weekend, and I'm still a work in progress. Is that okay? So I'm not saying like, you got to get this. We all got to get this. Financial anxiety is the most demeaning activity you can engage in. It reduces your life down to money and what its presence can purchase and what its absence is withholding. And Jesus says, no, you're so much more than that. Your life is so much more than that. My life is so much more than that. I have enough. Why? Because my life is more than stuff. That's what Jesus is teaching. He's saying, you don't see it, but you are so much more than you realize. And most of us have everything we need for today. We just don't have everything we want for tomorrow, which is why we worry. And Jesus says, don't, your life is more than that. And then he says, you want proof? Here it is. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, because that'd be weird. No, they don't do it because your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? So if you're in the room or if you're watching this online with someone right now, turn to somebody next to you and just tell them, you are more valuable than a bird. Just tell them. Say it with confidence. Don't hem and haw about it. You are more valuable. You say, are you making some kind of statement about the importance of animals? No. Birds are great. You're just better than a bird, okay? I thought you'd be more excited to know that. Like, you're just, Jesus, like, birds, awesome. You? You're way more valuable. And then he asks this question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And all of us instinctively, I don't care what we believe about God, instinctively go, no, they can't. In fact, you know what my worries do? They subtract the best moments from my life. That's what happens. And why worry about clothing? Just look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory. So Solomon was a guy in the Old Testament, crazy rich, like crazy rich, rocked fresh drip every day, never wore the same thing twice. Dude was like paparazzi were like, woo, looking good, Saul. And he was the man. And Jesus says, look at the flowers in all his glory. He was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? To which a lot of us go, I don't. I have so little money. Jesus says, have you had a meal recently? Are you wearing clothing? If so... Yeah, we actually, that is one of the things we require here. We don't have a lot of, but that's one. Come as you are, but get dressed first. Okay. Aren't you glad you come to church here? It's fun. All right. Okay, so we say, I don't have little faith. I have little money. Jesus says, no, you have little faith. If you've had a meal, you own at least enough clothing to get dressed today. You have a faith problem. We say, no, I have a financial problem. Jesus, no, it's a faith problem. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what your stubborn anxiety is revealing? Your secret atheism. You're not really worried you don't have enough. You're worried God isn't a good God. It's a theological problem. It's a belief system problem. Not a financial problem. When the truth is, we have enough because our life is more than stuff. And Jesus says, look, he says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. And by the way, I don't think that he was just giving an analogy. Like, this is a Sermon on the Mount. He was outside. I think he was literally like, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. He's inviting us to stop looking at what we don't have and what we're so anxious about and look instead at the evidence of a good God all around us. So a few years ago, I took some extended time off and really leaned into my faith. If I'm going to lead you, I want my faith to be constantly formed. And I'd come to this season, been leading the church for 12 years and took some time off. And realized, man, I need to really lean into some things with God. And during that, I went on a hike in the mountains with an older pastor. And he stopped me on this hike. We're just talking. And he pointed out a flower. And the leaves of this flower had this unique thing where they were shaped in such a way that they could catch the drops of rain and hold the rain until they needed it later in the heat of the day. And he's like, isn't that fascinating? And then he said something to me. He said, you know, all of that happened without you doing anything. You didn't have to worry about it. You aren't in control of it. It doesn't care whether you are here today or not. It's just doing the thing God created it to do. Jesus says, don't you see the evidence of God all around you? You say, well, I see a lot of brokenness in our world too. Yeah, that's us. That wasn't God. It was us. But Jesus says, look at all this. And that's what 21 days is going to do, by the way. I so encourage you to be a part of it, because it's going to help you look to God for what you need. And Jesus says, look all around. So don't worry about these things, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, so don't worry. So let me ask you a question. Have you tried not worrying yet? Have you tried it? Have you tried it? Anybody tried not worrying? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, you have. We all have. It doesn't work. I know. It doesn't work. Some of you have been writing Jesus off for 20 minutes because you're like, oh, thanks. Don't worry. Yeah. Ooh. Tried that. Worked for 17 seconds. And I was worried about how I wasn't worried enough. It doesn't work. And you're right, it doesn't work. Just not worrying does not work unless we replace our worry with something more compelling, which is why Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. What does that mean? Live a life, we sang about it earlier, that's built on the foundation of Jesus, that's rightly ordered, that's aligned with God, his will and his purposes and his promises, and he will give you everything you need. First step toward getting right on the money, financial freedom, is to stop worrying and to start seeking the kingdom of God above all else. In other words, the first step is realizing there's only one thing we don't have enough of in this life, and it's the presence of God. We need more. Our coveting and our craving and our concern, Jesus says, is to be aimed at the only one who can actually provide what we desperately desire. The security we're looking for, the hope we're looking for, comes from God. It's why we gather like this every week. It's why we connect in groups. It's why we serve. We designed this church to help all of us, myself included, every one of us, take a spiritual journey that constantly reminds us of what Jesus is teaching here, that our lives are more than stuff. Our lives are more than just this world. In fact, you know the beautiful thing about coming into this community of faith is it doesn't matter here what your net worth is, because your real worth has already been established by Jesus, who gave his life so that you could come into relationship with the Father. It doesn't matter what you owe here, because all debts have been paid by Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. And now the truth is, we don't just remove worry, we replace it with something more compelling. We have enough because our life is more than stuff. So I invite you to do it this week. Any time you're tempted to start worrying about money or having enough, pause and thank God for what you already have. That cup of coffee you had today, God provided that. God created caffeine. He's a good God. He's a good God. For all of you who drink decaf, you do not know you have not yet entered the kingdom. I'm kidding. But he's a good God. If you got that cup of coffee for free here, what a good God. He sent someone to serve to make that coffee. He's a good God. If you're wearing a shirt, whether it's brand new or 9 years old, designer or discount, God provided that. Everything in your life. You say, but it'd be better if it were newer. It would be better if I had two of them. It would be better if I could afford to eat out somewhere besides Chipotle. That is what's stealing your joy. It's not your level of wealth on the outside. It's the condition of your trust on the inside. And what's subtracting the best moments from your life is worry. All right, so I promised you we would come back to the way Jesus opened this whole thing. Don't worry about your everyday life. He said, remember, that is why. So what is why? Well, in the verse before this whole teaching about money and possessions, Jesus tells us why. Because no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now notice that Jesus did not say you should not. He said you actually cannot. It's impossible. Can't do it. Say, okay, but how do I know if I'm enslaved to money? Are rich people enslaved to money? Are poor people enslaved to money? Are middle class people enslaved to money? You know how you know. Because for the next 10 verses, Jesus says it over and over again. Worry is the sign that you're enslaved to money. In fact, it's really the only symptom he mentions. Worry. That's the sign. I'm enslaved. Faith is the sign that you're free. So does that mean it's not okay to ask for a raise? No, it means it's not okay to worry about whether or not you're going to get one. So it's not okay to have nice things? No, it's not okay to worry about whether or not you're going to have nice things or whether or not the nice things are going to last or whether or not your nice things are nicer than your neighbor's nice things. Worry is the signal that your soul is sick. Jesus wants to heal it. So, can money buy happiness? It's complicated. On one level, no, it can't. But on another level, it actually can. Because when you're not enslaved to it, you can actually learn to enjoy what it provides. A good meal, a warm coat, a ride home. You begin to slow down and savor everything as a gift from God. You're not worried, well, will there be another one? You're not an orphan. You have a Father in heaven. He will certainly take care of you. So when your heart is free from being enslaved to money, then you slow down. Money can buy happiness when you stop looking to it for joy. When you realize, oh, God provides. It comes, it goes, I enjoy it, I trust for it. But it's God who really meets my needs. When you begin to live like you have enough because your life is more than stuff. It's just more. So there is a path that leads to financial freedom, and it starts here. Next weekend, we're going to get practical about how we actually live above the financial noise and anxiety of our lives in everyday ways. But it starts here. Jesus wants us to be free. And I want to encourage you not only to come back next weekend, I really, really hope you do, but I want to encourage you to participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm challenging you. Don't just say, yeah, I want to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Put legs on your faith. Actually respond. Participate in this. We're going to start tomorrow. You say, well, what's the point of 21 days? Day 22. No joke. The whole point of 21 days is that it becomes a catalyst that changes your life. So from day 22 forward, throughout the rest of this year, you have more of the presence of God, more of the peace of God, more of the purpose of God in your life. And if you would say today, as we start this series and as we start this season in the life of our church, if you would say, you know, I think I hear what Jesus is saying. If I'm somewhere between barely enough and way more than enough, he just sees it as enough. And the one thing I need more of So I need more of the presence of God in my life this year. Would you just shoot your hand up, hold it up all over the room? All of you watching online, you can participate in this as well. Let me pray for us. Father, we love and honor you. You are a good God. We see the evidence. Some of us, even right now, God, need to remember the moments when you have provided. It didn't look possible, but there you were. You've been good. And you will certainly take care of us. We release our worries to you, but we don't just remove them. We replace them right now, God. Come on, tell them that. God, I want to seek your kingdom above all else this year. I want to live in the peace of God. I want to run to you. I want to know you more. God, do a work in us in this season, we pray in Jesus' name. Let me take one more moment. For any of you in the room or watching online right now that you don't have a real relationship with God for yourself, you don't know God, you are why Jesus came. And it's actually impossible for you to escape the worries of this world until you know who you are and whose you are. Christians are not perfect people. We are people who've been rescued by a good God. That's why Jesus came. It's why he died. He gave his life for the forgiveness of your sins. He rose again to give you power to live in him and with him. And if you want that today, if you want to become a follower of Jesus, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step. So I want everyone to join me. Open your heart up to God. And then if that's you today, you want to begin following Jesus, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this, right where you are. Jesus, today, I believe in you. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose again. And I'm asking you to give me the power from this day forward to follow you. Here's my whole life. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer today, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Will you lift your hand? Just hold it up high. It's boldly in the room. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Yes. Trusting him with my life. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's amazing. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. And then before you leave today, whether you're in the room, online, make sure you fill in a connect card. Share that with us. We want to celebrate it with you. And for right now, everybody, would you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the thanks, all the praise.